Southern Quebec Inuit Association and CKUT 90.3 FM. Tune in this time next week to Urban Indigenous Radio, and we will be back April 27th. Stay tuned for Soul Perspective coming up next. Bye, tabawusi.
And Mr. Blue invites you to a barbecue on Saturday, July 24th from noon to 9 p.m. at Martin Luther King Park, formerly called Kent Park, Côte Neige and Appleton. Weather permitting, come out and enjoy. On the menu, doubles, roti, jerk pork and chicken, curry goat and chicken, lots of side dishes. Music by DJ Jason. Wear your mask, social distancing required. That's Saturday, July 24th, noon to 9 p.m. at Martin Luther King Park in Côte d'Neige. So nice, we had to do it twice. For more information, call 514-771-7011.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening, wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I had a dream I could buy my way to heaven. When I awoke, I smit that on a necklace. I told God I'll be back in a second. Man, it's so hard not to act reckless. To whom much is given, much is tested. Get arrested, guess until he get the message. I feel the pressure under more scrutiny. And what I do, act more stupidly. Bought more jewelry, more Louis V. My mama couldn't get through to me. The drama, people suing me. I'm on TV talking like it's just you and me. I'm just saying how I feel, man. I ain't one of the Cosbys, I ain't go to Hill, man. I guess the money should have changed them. I guess I should have forgot where I came from.
Wait till I get my money right. La, 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 la. Then you can't tell me nothing right.
Excuse me, was you saying something? You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Set up the suicide doors. This is my life, homie, you decide yours. I know that Jesus died for us, but I couldn't tell you who the side was. So I parallel double park that motherfucker sideways. Old folks talking about back in my day, but homie, this is my day. Class started 2 hours ago. Oh, am I late? No, I already graduated. And you can live through anything if magic made it. They say I talk with so much emphasis. Ooh, they so sensitive. Don't ever fix your lips like collagen to say something where you gon' end up apologizing. Let me know if it's a problem then. Aight, man, holla then.
La, 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 la. Wait till I get my money right.
Excuse me, was you saying something? You can't tell me nothing. Can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
Let the champagne splash. Let that man get cash. Let that man get past. He don't even stop to get gas. If he can move through the rumors, he could drive off of fumes, cuz I ain't move in a room full of nose.
Yes, 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 we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And joining us on the air all the way from Philly is the poet known as Vision Perry. How are you doing, sir?
I am blessed. I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be talking to your listeners.
Glad to have you. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us. Basically what we've been doing since we restarted the show during this pandemic is we've been checking in with our guests and finding out how are you doing? How has life been since the pandemic started?
It's been a transition, like for everybody, but specifically for a lot of artists. I've been a full-time artist, no 9-to-5 since 2012, and it's been great. The problem is with the pandemic, no gigs. You know, like a lot of us depend on, you know, features and tours and things of that nature. That shut that down. Fortunately for me, I was kind of pivoting in 2019. 2019, I started an online story series called Trash to Peace Theater. It was literally me writing slide by slide on Instagram story. And that transformed into me learning how to animate and starting to animate those same stories. And with the community during the pandemic, like with Patreon and Cash App and Venmo and all these cool things, the community kind of liked it and rallied around it. So that's been a blessing. None of us foresaw this, but I was fortunate enough to kind of be pivoting my writing from poetry into screenwriting.
Right.
So I have no complaints about that. And it's been challenging and it's been beautiful. So, you know, that's been one thing about like during these crazy times, I've tried to find some joy and some beauty. And that's what I've been kind of like really going hard with it and focusing on.
And so if it wasn't the pandemic that caused you to make that pivot in your career, what was it that pushed you from going from that poetic in face into the online learning a new skill at the same time? What made you go there?
So with the stories, it started out very, very organic. It wasn't like, all right, I'm going to do this. I was just kind of goofing off on Instagram one day, and I made mention of this stalker I've had since the MySpace days. And they were like, well, people's like, whoa, you're not going to just mention that and not tell us a story.
Right.
So I just typed it out. I needed my hair retwisted that day. So I'm like, I'm not going to go live and tell this. So I just kind of typed it out one by one. And at the end, I mentioned this wasn't the only stalker I've had like this. And it's like, well, you got to tell that story. So I'm like, I'll do it next week. So every week I started telling a different story, and people were amused by the craziness of it. And I enjoy social media. How it evolved was a friend of mine who's a poet named Donnie Jackson. He's out in L.A. He's originally from Pittsburgh. He's a producer also. And I was like, yo, I think I'm onto something. Let's do this. He was like, cool, we're going to do this like live action. It's going to be dope. We're going to develop this. And things started to get a little, you know, crazy within, you know, I kind of saw what was happening with regards to Hollywood shutting down. All these movies were being pushed back. So I'm like, I'm going to do this on my own. And it wasn't no disrespect to him because it's stuff that he could do. So I took a couple months. I learned how to, you know, I took a bunch of free trials of animation suites because I can't draw for nothing.
Right.
I did a whole bunch of free trials of these animation suites, and I landed on a couple that I really liked. And I'm just like, all right, I don't have a microphone. I was literally doing it into a Beats headphone microphone because I was so broke. I didn't have like a mic and nothing. And I just did it, and it was awful. It was awful, but it was funny. It was absolute. If you go back and look at those first episodes, they were terrible, but it was funny, and people kind of saw the potential in it, the funny in it, the humor in it, so it kind of put the battery on my back to keep creating. And as a creator, y'all know this, when you see potential in what you do, it makes you work even harder. And when you see this can be better, like, I'm not where I'm at, right? I don't have the skills, but darn it, I'm going to get these skills. And it just put the battery on my back to try to get better and better and better. And 41 episodes later, here we are.
Wow.
41 episodes. 41 okay. Episodes. Okay. And how has it evolved over time in terms of the stories that you're telling? You know, you started off with one thing where you weren't really able to escape from the viewers who were demanding something from you. Where have you gone with it 41 episodes later?
So what I love about it is, number one, it allows me to be funny or silly. I think a lot of people have known me as a poet and being serious and talking social issues or love or all these things that are very, very introspective to me. But this lets me take it to a different level. I can be straight up like, look, when I was 22, I was trash. Let me tell you how. And we tell these stories, and there's so many. I think it's a feeling of vulnerability for the men who watch it, and it was like, yeah, I was like that too, bro. I get so many like, yo, you just told my story, and for a lot of the women are telling me like, hey, this is really good introspection. It's like a peek behind the curtain to see what dudes were thinking, what guys are still thinking. So for me, it gives me such an opportunity to be as honest as possible without any fear. And it's like, look, judge me. I'm okay with it. Judge away, it's all right. I deserve to be judged. Laugh at me, laugh at my pain, see how stupid I was, look at all the mistakes I made, and don't do what I did. So it's like if you were watching Saved by the Bell, but instead of Zach saying how, like, telling these stories about how great it was, like, nah, I was trash. Look what I did to Kelly and Screech. That was real trash. So it's really kind of taking a step back and not glorifying any of this kind of F-boy behavior, but saying, look, this is why I did it. This is how masculinity kind of like cloaked itself and pushed me toward this. This was toxic. This wasn't. These are the red flags that I missed. And now we can have a broader conversation about it all. And it's been working.
Mm. And what has moved you through that? What has moved you from that, if I may say, the F-boy stage to where you are at now? Like, do you think that it's actually possible for people to skip that and be something bigger? Is that the goal that you have by telling these stories?
I think a lot of it has to do with a few conversations I've had over the years. One was with my father, who he's a recurring character in the stories. In fact, he even has his own little spinoff on Patreon. He doesn't know it, though, so I hope he doesn't listen. He has no idea he has his own spinoff show. I just be telling all his stories and airing out all his business, but he don't got to know. He said to me one day, we were just talking, and he was like, yo, I taught you a lot of wrong things, and I'm glad that you're unpacking those. I'm glad that you're having these conversations now. So, again, being able to have an honest conversation with somebody older than me, my father is 64, and to say, like, hey, look, you know, some of those things I taught you back in the 80s or 90s, they were wrong. And I'm glad that we've moved past that.
Yeah.
That coupled with becoming a mentor, I was the youth poetry coach for Philadelphia Youth Poetry Movement for 8 years.
Yep.
And I knew I had to get my stuff together because kids have built-in BS detectors. So
yes,
talking to them, they can't wait to tell you you're not doing what you're saying.
You're not ready to tell you you're trash.
I can't wait to tell you that. You trash. How you doing this? And you telling me to do this and you ain't doing this. So I had to live the life that I was trying to tell them to do. I had to do that first. And that was the catalyst for really moving past those things and being better, whether it was my behavior online or evolving with language. I didn't grow up understanding pronouns and things like that, but this new generation was like, hey, this is a thing. And I'm like, I need to educate myself. I need to get past. I need to be better. So working with kids will push you to be a better man, be a better woman, be a better person. And lastly, whether you can get past that without going through it, that's a question I'm hoping Gen Z can answer.
Yeah.
I'm hoping some folks kind of look at the things I've done, because I don't glorify it. I say these were the red flags. In fact, my type was red flag. Red flag with a booty. Come here, girl. I love you. That was my type. And it's like, don't be like that. See past things, see bigger than that, and don't be afraid to take chances, one, but also challenge yourself to not fall into those boxes of those shrink-wrapped containers of what masculinity has been for the longest.
What have really, because I've followed you, I've been following you for a while now, and what I've really enjoyed about the series is it's very unapologetic in a way. It was, this is who I was, take me as I am, because, you know, my past is never going to change. You know? And one of my favorite expressions that you say at the end of almost every single episode is, it sucks to suck, you know?
Sucks to suck. Yeah.
And I think that's so perfect, because it's like, this is a story, it really sucked, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And enjoy the story.
And that's really what it is. And honestly, as I'm developing it, for something bigger, for a larger platform with some really cool production companies. And I'm having pitch meetings, and it's a lot of people saying, like, yo, I watch this, but we can't produce this because it's so unapologetic, because it doesn't. And I'm okay with that. I've gotten some really, and not, I won't be name dropping, but some really, really big names that I never thought I would meet in my life are saying, yo, I'm a fan, I'm gonna watch it, but I can't produce this because of how raunchy it can be. And I don't want to pull punches. I want to say this is what it was, because that's what it is. There's no use in disinfecting the past. Yeah. It happened. And who I am as a man today, if you like the person that I am today, it's because I went through all of those things. You can't have the person today without those experiences, without learning and unlearning and becoming and unbecoming all of those things. You can't have it both ways. So I get questions from a lot of women like, hey, you know, you're unmarried. Are you afraid that your future wife might be watching this and gonna be turned off? No, not at all, because it means she's not for me.
if that's off,
you want me to lie about who I was? You want me to, you know, I'm not doing that. I can't. I'd rather tell a harsh truth than a pretty lie any day.
Any day. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, Perry Vision DeVigilio is a North Philadelphia native. He's a poet, youth poetry educator, screenwriter, and animator. He's a graduate of Dickinson College. Vision focuses his writing on dissecting and unpacking masculinity, especially black masculinity, often through a comedic lens. He has coached two international youth poetry slam champions, and his collegiate teams have placed first and second, respectively, in the University International Poetry Slam. He's currently animating and producing Trash to Peace Theater, voted 2021 Audience Award winner for Best Web Series by the American Black Film Festival. He has published 3 poetry collections, and his web series is being developed for a full-length major streaming series. Congratulations, Perry. That, like, I'm so proud of you. I'm beyond words, because I love seeing your work. I love the animations. I love how you developed the F boy team there with Drake and now added to it what I don't even remember his name. I used to hate seeing the guy that gives the dating advice.
Oh, Kevin Samuels. He just added me, man. Yeah.
Kevin Samuels, and there's the other one, the other one that's married, and they found out that
Derek Jackson, he's another one.
There you go. I love that you have that panel that always advises you, and the rappers as well. I think that's very creative. And
wait, these people advise you?
So I've created the F-Boy Gods.
Okay.
And I voice all of them. It's officially, it started off as Drake. The God of all is F Niggas. I don't want to say, we on the radio, but there's a God who oversees all of them. But there's another one who, it's Drake, it's Future, Derek Jackson, Kevin Samuels, and Janae Aiko, because I had to have a sister in there, Janae Aiko. And I get so much heat from Janae Aiko fans, and I'm like, I love her. But if you put some of them lyrics, you switch them around, if Drake was saying that, we'd be like, oh, that's some F-boy stuff right there. So they kind of advise me. So in the series, you know, I pray to them, and I'm like, I seek guidance from them, and they always give me terrible advice. Janae always gives me great advice, but the rest of them give me terrible advice. And I feel like the symbolism is that's how I was growing up, looking at the older people that I admired in life. And even the ones I didn't admire, but they got money, or they was getting all the girls, or they had the nice car, I would go to them for advice, and it'd be terrible advice. And that's how I kind of navigated in North Philly growing up. So I kind of used them as the symbolism behind that, still doing that, still seeking knowledge from Future. And Future is my favorite one, because my man's is just unapologetically trash on all levels. And tomorrow's episode, I don't want to spoil it, but tomorrow's episode, we are inducting a new F-Boy God into the ether. So there's a new one tomorrow. If you think really hard on what's been going on in pop culture, you could probably guess who it is. But
I'm excited to see it.
I have a really, really good time with playing around with those. And I know for a fact that some of them have seen it. I had Donnell Jones in one episode that took place in the 90s. And I know for a fact he saw it, because he sent me a message like, yo, this is really funny. You had to get me like that, though. So everybody's been taking it in stride and just having a good time about it.
Mm.
No jokes.
Love it. And one of your recurring themes. And I love how much detail you put into all of your videos. Like, anyone who watches your videos and just looks in the background and looks on like you'll have like a painting, what looks like a painting, and it references like a long thread through that you do throughout your videos, and yeah. And especially and we spoke about this directly, Wendy Williams. There's yeah. this constant Wendy Williams keeps coming back, and yeah. I want us to talk about it because we have to go to break right now. But Wendy Williams is big in your Trash to Peace yeah. theater. She almost always gets a feature every episode.
I try to leave at least one reference to Wendy every episode. It's like a little Easter egg for everybody.
Right, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3. FM.
But she believe in shoes and cars, wood floors in the new apartment, couture from the store's departments. You more like love to start shit. I'm more of the trips to Florida, order the hors d'oeuvres, views of the water, straight from a page of your favorite author. And the weather's so breezy, man, why can't life always be this easy? She in the mirror dancing so sleazy, I get a call like, where are you, Yeezy? And try to hit you with the old wafty, till I got flashed by the paparazzi. Damn, these niggas got me, I hate these niggas more than a Nazi.
As I recall, I know you love to show off, but I never thought that you would take it this far. What do I know?
Flashing lights.
What do I know?
Flashing lights.
I know it's been a while, sweetheart. We hardly talk. I was doing my thing. I know what was fair, baby, hey, baby, lately, you've been all on my brain. And if somebody would've told me a month ago, front and oh, yo, I wouldn't wanna know. If somebody would've told me a year ago, it'd go get this difficult. Feeling like Katrina with no FEMA, like Martin with no Gina, like a flight with no visa, first class with the seat back, I still see ya. In my past, you on the other side of the glass of my memories museum. I'm just saying, hey Mona Lisa, come home. You know you can't roam
as
without
I
Caesar.
Recall, I know you love to show off, but I never thought that you would take it this far. What do I know?
Escape, sleep, walk, awake.
Yeah.
Those who correlate know the world ain't cake. Jail bars ain't golden gates. Those who fake, they break. When they meet their 400-pound mate, if I could rule the world, everyone would have a gun in the ghetto, of course. When get the up and on their horse. I kick around drinking moonshine. I pour a sip on the concrete for the deceased. But no, don't weep. Why Clef's in a state of sleep, thinking about the robbery that I did last week.
Money in the bag, banker look like a drag. I wanna play with pelicans from here to Baghdad. Gun blast, think fast, I think I'm hit. My girl pinched my hips to see if I still exist. I think not, I'll send a letter to my friends. A born again hooligan, only to be king again.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me. Yo, I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress, if you don't smoke cess. Less, I must confess, my destiny's manifest. In some cortex and sweats, I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Orgy and Bess. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool. But I hex you with some witch's brew if you do. Voodoo, I could do what you do. Easy. Believe me, frontin' niggas give me heebie-jeebies. So while you imitating Al Capone, I be Nina Simone and defecating on your microphone. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you. And take it slowly. You can't run away from these styles I got. Oh, baby, hey, baby, 'cause I got a lot. Oh, yeah. And anywhere I go, my whole crew gonna know. Oh, baby, hey, baby, you can't hide from the bag. Oh, no.
Ready or not, refugee taking over. The Buffalo Soldier, dreadlock roster. On the 12th hour, fly by in my bomber. Crews run for cover, now they under pushing up flowers.
Yes, 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 we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson. I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And on the line with us, we have Perry Vision de Vigilio. Am I saying your name right?
Really? It's, you make it sound way better. It's Di Virgilio, but with the accent makes it sound so much better. We're gonna go how you say it. I like that better.
Okay. All right. He's a poet, a youth poetry educator, screenwriter, and animator based in North Philly. Graduate of Dickinson College, and has been producing some really amazing stuff that eventually got him voted as the 2021 Audience Award winner for Best Web Series by the American Black Film Festival and it's called Trash to Peace Theater. And before the break, I said that you had put throughout your series little digs at Wendy Williams because of a very specific episode that happened, one of your earlier episodes. So please tell us a little bit about this, because I always see it and I'm like, and I messaged you about it. I'm like, yo, why are you digging at Wendy Williams so much? So tell us about that particular episode and that particular incident. Because these are all true stories.
Everything is based on a true story. I embellish some, obviously. I really don't pray to the F-boy guys, and I don't read, I have all these little ridiculous scriptures, the book of the Ecclesiastics. I don't do any of that stuff, just for the record. Yeah. All the embellishments and having fun. But the thing with Wendy, like, all of these stories are based on true events, and there's an event that goes on every year in Philly called Powerhouse. And back in the day, Wendy Williams used to be an air personality for Power 99 in Philly when she kind of got ran out of New York by, like, whoever, I don't want to put the business, but she got ran out of New York, came to Philly. Yeah. At the event, I was working it because one of my father's friends is, like, big on that scene. I was working the event, and he was like, yo, help Wendy down the stairs. And I reached out to to my hand to, like, help her down the stairs. She had these humongous platform shoes on. She smacked my hand away, and I was like, ma'am? Okay, maybe you a germaphobe. I'm going to let that cook. I'm going to let that rock. One of the performers that night was also Maya. It was like Little Kim, Carl Thomas, Maya. It was a big event. And Maya gets off stage, and she's like sitting, on like the back ramp by herself. And I'm like, oh, okay. Let me go say hi to Maya real quick. Go say hi. She actually like engages in conversation with me. And we sat there and talked for like 10, 15 minutes. It was great. It wasn't about performance. It just was like two young people talking. We could have been in a park somewhere. We'd have never known the difference. Wendy comes down the back little hallway, sees Maya talking to me, grabs her and said, why are you talking to the help?
Wow.
And or ever since then. This happened like so long ago, but I've been telling this story to my friends for the longest. And, you know, I know I'm really cool with a bunch of other air personalities who will confirm the story and have confirmed that it happened on Facebook and on Instagram. But I'm like, now that I have a platform and I told that story, I'm going to be petty. And so every episode, there's like a Wendy is trash reference in the background. It could be like a billboard. It could be a trash. It could be like a trash truck going by. It'll have Wendy's name on it. You could be walking by like a recycling bin. It'll have Wendy's name on it just to kind of keep it going. And for the audience, it's like, I love putting things in the background, whether it's Wendy stuff or random stuff, because I want you to be able to watch the episode a few times and get new references. So for that, it's always like a hidden Easter egg for the folks who've been around, you know, since that story was told, to be like, all right, I'm going to search for it. I know it's here somewhere. He's going to say something about Wendy somewhere. I don't know where it's at. I might have missed it. Let me go back and find it. So it's just a lot of fun. And I don't really have no beef with her. Like, when she was going through what she was going through with her husband, I prayed for her. You know, I sent her good healing energy, all that good stuff. But I'm going to be petty. And I got a platform, and I'm gonna have fun. And she can't say nothing because she does the same thing to people. So
that's how she uses her platform.
Exactly. So I'm gonna have a little bit of fun with it. I know for a fact she's seen it. One of her producers kind of reached out, and you know, I know for a fact that she's seen it. And I'm like, I wish she would say so. It would be so. If she acknowledges this, it would be like the biggest coup of all time. I'm so with it. Like, come for me, Wendy. Let's have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And like sometimes your episode, the episode that your audience is watching has nothing to do with anything even similar. And then at the end, you'll be like, yeah, Wendy Williams is trash. Yeah.
Wendy's trash. And don't forget, Wendy's trash. Like, it could be about something completely different in a completely different era. And the stories are always non-chronological. One story could be 2008, the next can be 98. And I do that for a reason, to kind of just... Because I like talking about the fashion and music, and I want to keep people on their toes. But it doesn't matter when it is. It's going to be a dig somehow, some way, and I'm going to have some fun with her. And her stans are in the comments sometimes, and I have fun with them. Like, imagine being a Wendy stan. What is your life, lady? I have a lot of fun with them being petty, and they have a lot of fun. But it's all in good. It's all in good fun. It's always a really good time.
Yes. So as a filmmaker myself, one of the things that I had learned is character development and developing each character. And so you have people who are real. So obviously you talk about your father, yourself, and you have your North Philly crew. And then you talk about the different areas of Philly and how North, if you're from North, you're not supposed to go to this place and so on and so forth. And you talk about different people from different areas. So tell us, like, how did you develop the characters? What was your thought process behind all of that?
I am so different than all of my friends. Like, my friend, I would say thug adjacent, and I always call myself thug adjacent. I'm not tough. I am not a tough guy at all. But my friends were the goons of the neighborhood. Right. And so I've known them, like, they're known as the goons, but I also know them. I've known them since we were 5, 6 years old. So I saw them develop into that for survival or for whatever reason during the chaotic 90s. But I know them at their core. And I know that they're funny, and I know that they have such distinct personalities. And looking from the out, like from the outside looking in, you would just think these are a bunch of corner boys. But I know them so much. There's so much more than that. They're so dope. They're so great and funny and compassionate. So just talking about them and giving them, like, Bruce is a fan favorite. Bruce is in a lot of episodes, and he was a thug. He's like a family man now, but back in the day, but I knew him to be the comedian. I knew him to be the wise one. He was one of the youngest in the group, but he was the wisest in the group. Nell is a recurring character. Everybody thought I was the pretty boy. He was the one who knew how to dress. He was the one who knew where all the girls was going to be. So just having these conversations, you know, letting folks know we were corner boys, but we were so much more than that. And when you're driving, you're driving from church back to your other neighborhood, through our neighborhood, all you're going to do is see a bunch of black boys on the corner and just group us all in together. But we're way doper than that. We're way more complex than that. And I think that's black masculinity and femininity in general. I feel like as black men and women, we get grouped into things, and we are so much more dynamic than that. So this gives me an opportunity to kind of build out upon that, to show different personalities, to show how we interact, to tell these stories. And at the end of the day, Philly is a character in Trash the Piece Theater, but also the era is a character, because the early 2000s was like no other. It was just different. The music, the slang, the things we were saying was. I talk about it now, and it's weird because I became like the old head, the OG, and all these the Gen Z's like, oh, that's old. That's I lean into that. I lean into it the same way when in the 80s, when I was, you know, super young, I watched The Wonder Years. I didn't have to live in the 60s to understand it, but it was dope. And I try to, like, make sure that for us who are a little, for the late Gen Xers and the early millennials, we have this rallying point to show how dynamic and how dope our era was, aside from the crack era, aside from all these other things that come in movies, which is cool, but it's better than that. And I don't want our existence to be rooted in trauma. I feel like anytime there's a coming of age story, specifically with Black boys, it's around trauma. Somebody got shot or somebody's selling drugs. And it's like, wait a minute, where's our super bad? Where's our American pie? We are so much doper than this. We have these stories too. We just haven't been able to tell them. So Trash to Peace has always been for me, rooted in that. We don't need trauma. We and for those who write it, great. We want to hear it. Those are true stories. That's great. But that's not what I'm doing. I want our existence to be better than that.
You know, it's funny that you said that because there's like a not really a meme, but someone posted because there's a popular thing now on different platforms like Disney Plus and Prime and Netflix to an extent, but they don't have a very specific tagline, is they'll have black voices, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the stories will be traumatic stories. It will be about slavery. One of the series that I really enjoyed, but at the same time really felt triggered by is Them.
Yeah.
Which is based on a true story. It was about Compton. And how Compton went from being an all-white neighborhood, and the first really black family that went into Compton and kind of almost forced the white neighborhood to accept their presence there, and it feels like a kind of typical racism type story, but anyhow. All that to say that a lot of these stories are traumatic. The wife was traumatized. Child died very violently, and then it's all about racism, and then it goes into demonic possession, and it gets really deep with it, and it's like, okay, so where are the lighter stories?
Where's the joy?
Where is the living single? You know,
we need
what
those.
Happened to that kind of story?
And,
and to me, your Trash to Peace Theater is so refreshing in that it takes all the stereotypes, flips it on its head, and it gives us comedy, amazing comedy. And it also one of the things that I enjoyed, and you were kind of making a point about it, is that it humanizes the characters. So, you know, you have your thug friend, but he's got your back no matter what, you know, and he will let you know that, oh no, that situation is a bad situation that you're going into. And so that's very refreshing to see, because when you're thinking about those 90s movies where they have like this kind of player character, you don't have these human characters around him that are supporting him, calling him out. Yeah, they may be thuggish, but they also have a heart, and they're like, you know, and you give a heart to your characters, which is something I really enjoyed. And did you put a lot of thought into that when you were doing it, or this is like based on real life experience?
So I wrote them as they are. So there's a story of us being trapped in this hotel room. We got tricked into going to some hotel party. We thought it was going to be like a bunch of, you know, girls our age. We about to turn up. It's just a lingerie party. We about to get it in. And we get there, and all the women are like twice our size and like double our age. And I've never, these thug dudes I know who are thugs on the block and around the neighborhood were cowering in fear at these really aggressive women. And for me, it was like, I remember looking in their faces like, yo, they about to get us, yo. And I've never seen them. So like that, the comedy in that for me is like again, the humanization of being afraid in that moment. Like, we ain't ready for these grown women. We are not ready for this. And it's not a knock on older women at all. Understanding that these young men, we thought we was popping, we thought we was the ish, and we learned that night that we are not, and to this day we still don't talk about it. This is 15 years later, we still have never talked. They were mad when I published this story. They were like, we made a pact. We're never going to talk about it. So just having these conversations, showing like, yeah, we went straight from the corner to one spot. We found out it was a little lingerie party. We went here and we were cowering in fear in the corner, running around this hotel room from these grown women. So again, yes, they're thugs. Yes, they were. Some of them were hustlers. Some of them were drug dealers. Some of them were this. Way more than that. And I've known them since they were 5 years old. And I've known them to cry. I've known. So it's deeper than that. And it doesn't. I love Boys in the Hood. I love Menace to Society. I love these movies. Juice. I love all that. But we don't have to just focus on the violence. We don't have to just focus on the gunplay and somebody died and somebody hustling. Almost all my friends was hustlers. I don't talk about that because that's not who I know. I know them as something deeper, and I know something is better than that. And it's not to say that they didn't do what they had to do, but I don't want to focus on it. That's not where I want to focus. I respect all creators and all filmmakers. Those stories need to be told, just not by me.
Yeah. I really enjoy the freshness of it, and it's the animation, I think, that brings it to life. And you're so meticulous. Also with details as you are, as your character. I mean, you talked about earlier how you know you'll be going from era to era, and your hair as the character changes, your size changes, you look different, and I really enjoy all of that. As a filmmaker myself, I really enjoy all the details that you put into it, and it's something that you don't see often in cinema. In cinema, even if a character was, say, in the 1980s and then now they're in the 2000s, they might change a little bit, but the change is so minimal. And then they might use a lot of computer graphics to make them look younger, or so on and so forth. But this just feels, because it's animation, you have more flexibility, and it feels, for want of a better word, it feels real. It feels tangible. It feels like, okay, yes, I'm here in the 90s watching this story happen, and now he's gotten his locks almost down to his cheekbones now.
Yeah.
And it feels real, and I love that about this this series.
Well, that's how we think about time. I don't know specific years, but I know songs. I know what I was wearing. I know Rockaway was popping. I know Sean John was popping. I know that I had straight back cornrows. I don't know what year it was, but every at the beginning of it was, I never say the year was 2001. I'm like, nah, the year was the blueprint, because that's what I remember. Nah, the year was graduation. We were saying Free Britney. Amy Winehouse was alive and Wendy was still trash. Like, that's how I tell time. You know what I mean? I remember music with time and fashion and your hair. That's how I remember time. I think that's how most of us remember time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we do have to take a break. We are speaking to Perry Vision Virgilio. He's a poet from North Philly turned animator, and recently won and the audience award at the American Black Film Festival. We are going to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
All eyes on me. Hey, you know what? I bet you got it twisted. You don't know who to trust. So many player hating, trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where them cowards going. Well, are you still down? Holler when you see me and let these devils suck for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan and every time we ride, hitting up when we pass by until I die. Live the life of a boss player, cause even when I'm hot with me and get cross later, the future's in my eyes. Cause all I want is cash and things. I 500 bins for my flashy brains. Pursue me like a dream, been known to disappear before your eyes. Dope thing, it seems my main thing was to be major, paid the game sharper than the razor blade. Save money, bring lies. One getting jealous and die. Depend on me like the first and 15. They might hold me for a second, but before won't get me. We got four and low riders and ski masks screaming thug like every time they pass. All eyes on me. Little life of a thug until the day I die. Little life of a boss play. All eyes on me. All eyes on me, live the life of a thug until the day I die. Live the life of a boss player, cause even getting high.
Hey, to my partner. So much trouble in the world. me to race. How long will she last? I'm caught between my woman and my pistol and my chips. Triple bean, got some smokers on, whistle as a dip. I'm lost in the land with no plan, living life flawless. Crime boss, contraband, let me toss this. Media got a lot of nerve, let my bucket swerve. I'm taking off from the curb. The nervousness, neglect, made me pack a tech. Devoted to serving this, my wet and paid checks. Like a kite satellite, I'm forever bowling. It ain't right, parasites, triggers, and fleas crawling. Sucker ducking, get busted, no emotion. My devotion is out of my business, keep on coasting. Where you going? I've been there, came back, it's lonely, homie. Steady flowing against the grain, still don't know me. It's about the money and this rap, this crap. It ain't funny, don't even know how to act. What can I do? What can I say? Is there another way? Since gin all day, 24 parlay. My little homie G, can't you see I'm Buster Free? Can't stand me, all eyes on me.
Live a life as a duck, until the day I die. Live a life as a rose play, all eyes on me. All eyes on me. Live a life as a duck, until the day I die. Live a life as a rose play, all eyes on me.
The fans is watching, plotting to get me. Will I survive? Will I die? Come on, let's picture the possibility, giving me charges. Lawyers making a grip. I told the judge I was raised wrong, and that's why I blame. Was hyper as a kid, old as a teenager. On my mobile, calling big shots. On a scene major, packing hundreds in my drawers. The law, what a passion. I'm living rough and raw. Catching cases at a fast rate, rolling in the fast lane. Hustle till the morning, never stop until the cash came. Live my life as a thug until the day I die.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It is another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson. I'm on the air with
Renee Jordan.
And we have on the air with us Perry Vision De Virgilio.
Hey, nailed it.
When you slow it down, it's better.
Yeah, yeah. It's De all Virgilio. Good.
He's a North Philly poet and award winner and just so many things. I hope you've been listening since the beginning because the accolades are plentiful. I want us to take it back a little bit because we've been talking about Trash to Peace Theater, which is a big part of your life now, especially during the pandemic. It's something that you've given focus on. But before you got to Trash to Peace Theater, you were working a lot in the poetry community. And that's actually how we met. And yeah. And I realized that we kind of met at the beginning of your phase into being a full-time traveling poet. So around 2012 is when you came up here and you were at Throw Poetry Slam. You were the feature, and that's how you and I met. So tell us a little bit about how you went from being a thug adjacent to being a poet, because I can only imagine that's something that kind of didn't fit the narrative of the crew that you were hanging with, based on the fact that you tell such true stories when it comes to Trash to Peace Theater.
So I was whether it was 3 p.m. or 3 a.m., you could have caught me on the corner of Crosskey and Lippincott in North Philly. Like, that was my whole identity was based on this corner, which is ironic now that gentrification is, like, really going rampant in Philly, specifically North Philly, because those corners were never ours. But I was always the kid. I was a student athlete. I was student athlete of the year. And you know, when I graduated, I was a basketball player, but I also had a 4.0. My friends were always very, very, like, cool. Like, look, we know that's, you know, P going to be doing his thing, you know, with his smarty art thing, but we always going to be here. They never pressured me to do anything. In fact, whenever I tried to do some goofy stuff, they'd be like, yo, step off. Whenever beef was happening, whenever some gangster stuff, that, yo, P, step off. Say less, I'm out. Like, they've always been very, very loyal, very, very good friends. And as I was transitioning into doing open mics in Philly, this is at the end of the quote-unquote neo-soul era. You know, Jill Scott and all them were already, you know, major celebrities. The Black Lily, where Flowetry and The Roots and Air, you can see on a Tuesday night, you can see all of them. I was on the heels of that, and I was young, sneaking into those places, just trying to get on, make a name for myself. But I would sneak away from the block, and I would lie. Never told them that I was writing and performing poetry. I would lie to them and say, I'm going to see a girl. Now, lying on your manhood, I'm trying to put this delicately, is a mortal sin where I'm from. You can't lie on that. But in my mind, I'm like, a girl is just a metaphor for poetry.
So I made it. I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
Yes, I see what you did there too.
So after a while, like every Friday night specifically, that was our hangout nights. But Friday nights was a spot called October Gallery, Panoramic Poetry, where it's like you had to be there. It was like the great, and I was trying to make a name for myself, and all the heavyweights from around the country were gonna be there. So I'm like, if I could be in a lineup with them and do my thing and carry the crowd, I'm good. So I kept doing this. And so finally, I was leaving off the block one day to go down to Panoramic Poetry, and my friend Nell stopped me and was like, yo, P, you could stop lying anytime now. Jabbar saw you coming out of that art gallery. We know you do poetry. How long are you going to keep this up? And I was like, and they was like, we support you. No matter what you do, let us know. We'll come through. And at that moment, I felt so small. Like, I didn't trust my friends who had always been there for me, who had always trusted me and loved me and accepted me. I didn't accept them in that moment. So since then, they've been accepting of whatever I do. Even as I was transitioning into full-time, they'd be like, yo, get off the corner. I got friends who are locked up. I go see them, you know, and some in the federal prison, some in the state prison. They're like, yo, we lived through you. Wow. I have people who are in prison who watch Trash to Peace. I don't ask them how. I don't know how you watched. I don't know how you DMing me right now, bro. But I'm glad. And they say, hey, listen, keep telling our stories. So that means so much to me, knowing that, you know, where I'm from, where I grew up is very, very hyper-masculine during the height of the crack epidemic. But these dudes are like, yo, we support you. We love you. Do your thing. And on top of that, they don't want to hear no gangster stuff. They've lived that. They want to see the funny. They want to hear the joy. And it reminded me of something that Kendrick Lamar said when he wrote the song, I love myself. He was like, all the people around in Compton, people in the state prisons, they don't want to hear no more gangster stuff. They want to hear joy. And his music brings them joy. And I own that now. And I try to embody that as much as possible, coming from where I come from, telling some joyful stories, making folks laugh, and putting where I am on the map. Putting where I'm from on the map, rather.
Mm. It must really do something to them also in terms of their humanity to be locked up and then to be hearing someone talk of them in a way as a character that's more than whatever their offense or whatever they're inside for. You know, really telling the story as them being a heart and full person.
Yes, absolutely. And like one of my, I'm not going to say his name because I don't know who listened to this. I don't want to get in trouble. But he watches and he DM'd me. And he had somebody else. He had another person from where he's at DM me like, yo, do you know him for real, for real? And I'm like, yeah, that was my guy growing up. So the fact that he's in federal prison far away from Philly, but being able to say, hey, I know him, and he telling the stories, I was there that day when that happened at the Sting, and that gives me so much pride, because it gives him pride. It makes him feel good to say, hey, I've been away for 15 years, but I know this guy, and this is where I'm from. It just gives him this sense of pride, and I love that. And it's not about being gangster. It's not about being tough. His stripes are earned in that world, but the joy and the laughing and the references of us wearing Enichi velours and drinking Incredible Hulk drinks and all that goofy stuff that we did, that gives him joy, and then that in turn gives me another level of joy.
What you just said about your friends supporting you and like keeping you away, it reminds me of the J. Cole lyric, and I'm trying to find it, but basically he and it's from the 2014 Forest Hill Drives album where he says, you know, I'm trying to be like you, and then his friend is like, what, are you a clown? I'm the one who's trying to be like you. You have a GPA, you have all the potential in the world. You don't need to be, you know, trying to sell a dime piece on the block. Like, go and be great.
Yeah.
And that kind of reminds me of the story that you're telling right now, where your friends are like, nah, you're the smart one. You're doing this poetry stuff. You need to go and do that and handle that.
Even now, I pull up on the block. You know, my friends, we're all older folks, got kids and families, but you can still find them on 22nd Olympicott, Crosskin Olympicott. And when I pull up, they like, it's cool for like the first 15, 20 minutes. And it's like, yo, why are you here? Why aren't you in Miami? We live off your Instagram. We live off your, why are you here, bro? Like, we don't want you to be, like, we ain't going to go live. And at first I didn't understand. I felt like I was being shunned. But then as I got older, I was like, yo, that makes sense. I have opportunities that a lot of folks don't have, and I'm privileged in a lot of ways that folks aren't. And I got to do something with that. The fact that they're watching me, I have friends who've been away 15, 20 years, they're watching me, that matters. So to this day, they're still very much the same way. I'm there for 10, 15 minutes, like, yo, go write, go animate, what are you doing, why are you here? And while I used to feel shunned, now I'm like, you're right, I'm out, I'm gonna talk to y'all later. And that's such an empowering thing to feel.
Mm.
When it comes to Black masculinity, do you feel like you are teaching the lessons of your past to the generation today, or do you feel like they're almost telling you something about the way that we grew up, the things that we grew up with, that we accepted as being, you know, okay, yeah, that's just the way it is, but they're challenging it?
I think it's a bit of both. I think they laugh at some of the goofy stuff, because it's something about my age, and I try my best, and it's not always in trash piece, but it may be in like a mini episode or something I'm saying during the week. It bothers me when folks in my generation are very judgmental of Gen Z's, because like, wait a minute, what you're not going to do is talk about Megan Thee Stallion when we had Lil' Kim. But you're not going to talk about twerking when we had Uncle Luke. We're not going to do this. We're not going to turn into the adults.
We're not going to do that.
So, and I'm very conscious of that, and I can't wait to call somebody out when somebody says some goofy stuff. Especially, I'm like, yo, I used to grind on you in the club back in the day. Cut it out. Stop doing this. Let them live. So part of it is like Gen Z's being able to, like a peek saying, hey, my parents were just as ratchet. But a lot of it is also like, hey, these are the mistakes I made. You don't have to make them. Like, Jay-Z, Hov did that, so hopefully you ain't got to go through that. Kind of the same deal. These are the things that I've done. These are the traps. don't fall for that. And what I'm finding is a lot of young men are hitting me up for advice about love and relationships. I'm like, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what not to do. I can tell you that all day. I'm still trying to figure this out myself. And as we get older, we realize 40, 50, 60 years old, folks still trying to figure it out. Yeah. But one young man hit me up a few months back and was like, hey, I'm dealing with this girl and I feel like an F-boy. And I'm like, why? And he's like, because, you know, she said it was supposed to be just a jump off situation, but I know she's catching feelings, but I want to keep doing it because a lot of fun is really good. And I'm like, leave her be, bro. Like, the fact that he reached out to me to say, knowing that what he was doing was wrong and just needed confirmation to say, like, yo, take care of her heart. Look deeper than yourself, bro. I wouldn't have done that when I was your age because I didn't feel like I had somebody to go to with that. And I did, but I just didn't reach out. The fact that you did that, you way ahead of me. And sometimes they need that validation. I'm like, yo, bro, you way ahead of me when I was your age. Don't, if you know something is wrong, don't do it. Think bigger than yourself. Think outside of yourself. And that's what helps you develop further into manhood. So it's a little bit of both.
And those characters that you mentioned before, you were talking about Derek Jackson, and you know, there are a lot of online Instagram personalities that try to give women advice on how they should be in their relationships, and then you see the flip note of the scandals rolling out on them of all the men that they used to like insult, and then you're sort of left wondering, like, okay, well, who do we have to really look at, or who do we have to get this advice from, you know?
My thing is, I can't give advice because I'm still trying to figure it out, but I can give you game. I can tell you what I've done. I can tell you the mistakes that I've made. I can tell you red flags to look out for, but I can't give you advice on love. I can't tell you what to do. You're never going to go back in my past and find a poem. Somebody saying, woman, do this. Sis, you got to do this. But I don't have those poems because Trash of Peace shows I'm the last one on this planet who could tell you what to do. Because I've made mistakes and I've grown from those mistakes. So I can't judge you. I can't tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing. So that's not what I do. And even with, you know, adding Derek Jackson to the whole F-boy gods thing, that was just a fun and games. I don't have no beef with Boy. I've always disagreed with his stance. I felt like it was pandering. But again, you know, these are grown women of sound mind and body who want to hear that. I can't tell a sister don't listen to him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't advise my sister to if she asked me if she should. But these are grown women. These are doctors, lawyers, architects, whether it's, you know, if that's what you want to listen to, if that's what you want to consume, go for it. But I'm going to try to be a counterbalance to this and kind of give you a peek on the inside of some of the things that could be happening. So when that went down, I'm like, ooh, we gonna have some fun. I had the Birdman hand claps going when that went down. We gonna have some fun with this one, bro. And he and I know of each other. We run in some of the same circles as you know, in the poetry circles in the States. But I can't tell somebody what to do. Because if you watch Trash of Peace Theater, you know, like, you the last one I'm the last one that can judge anybody.
So what are your red flags? What to the ladies who are out there?